What's up, everybody? Welcome to the XFL podcast, episode number 7. Taking a deep dive, a deep dive into what happened week 3. We got a lot to talk about. This is presented by Habibi Clothing. As always, XFL Pod at checkout for 10% off of your order, HabibiClothing.co. I am Jonathan Risk. You can follow me at Official Risk, and I'm joined, as always, live from Detroit, Michigan, MG Geek. MG, how you doing, bud?
I am good, man. How's it going?
I'm good. For those that don't know, MG actually lives in the basement of Ford Field, much like Kanye did in Atlanta. So that's where he's at right now.
Really?
Yeah, no, he's in the deep bowels of the basement. But let's get right into it. Quick news and notes. MG, what'd you think of this week's play? The offensive play calling looked a little bit better.
Not only the offense looked better, the quarterbacks look like they're finding the receivers better. I felt like it was just a more professional football league than it has the first couple of weeks. There were, out of the 4 games, 2 covered, two covered the over. And then the Arlington-Houston game, that was 1 point short. And their over was 36, and they got 35. So, hey, I was very encouraged by how it looked, how it come across on the broadcast, or, you know, as far as how it was covered, and there's offense, and we'll get into, when we get into the games, there was a couple guys that stood out that really, I think, are going to work their way back to the NFL. So that's
cool. Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of good games this week. One thing I love about this league is, I mean, if we're looking at this week, not to jump ahead too much, but the lowest scoring game was a game that ended 9-10. And yet, that game was still entertaining down to the wire.
But it has stories. It has a lot of stories, and we'll get into that because there was a lot of things that happened.
Yeah, the storylines of this league are there. And they're definitely there.
I went out back, and I checked Paxton Lynch's grave, and it's empty. I don't know what happened.
He made it out the grave.
We'll get into
it. You tried to bury a man alive, and he made it out. Okay, well, before we get into the games, MG, tell me about why you're a grumpy old man and why you don't like the ESPN telecast. What happened?
Okay, so this goes back to a couple of weeks ago. I said these live mics, I love the interaction. I love that you hear the players and you hear what they're thinking. But if ESPN wants to cover it, they need to make a decision. Do some sort of delay and edit it or something else. But trying to catch every F-bomb live and missing it and getting the 10 seconds after it is just distracting. It's really, 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 I'm just not a fan. It takes you out of the game in a lot of ways. I don't know how you feel, but I feel like they need to figure out where they want to go. Honestly, if you're going to have it on FX, which has adult programming and it's a night game, you know what? Put the parental discretion advised up and say there will be language and call it good. And then maybe talk to players and just tell them, hey, you know what? Try to refrain from F-bombs as much as you can. But I don't know what else to do. You know, it's not a deal breaker, but it just gets annoying and distracting when you're trying to edit every 30 seconds. We're both wrestling fans, and they do it in wrestling too, where they try to edit the crowd. And when you cut the sound out from everything, it just takes you right out of it. So that's my whole issue right now. It's not that they're doing it. I don't care. I cuss like a sailor in my personal life. So it's not something, but when you're trying to watch it and you're trying to cater to, like families and that have kids and want them to come to games, you're going to have to make a decision here. I don't know. It's something that's, I'm going to stop talking about it, I think, because it's starting to become, it's just, I don't know, man. It's just something I had to get it off my chest. But yeah, it's just, I don't know. Do you feel like it's distracting watching it? Because that's what I get. It's like, if it were just that track was going away, but when all the sound goes and you get silence, it's like, okay, that's just, it maybe had something to do with me watching it with my headphones. And I had a couple of games in the background for a little bit, especially first quarter and Saturday. So yeah. Maybe it had something to do with it.
Yeah, you had a lot going on. I could see how it gets distracting. It's a weird situation because, like you said, FX, they have more mature content on there. Night games, cool. ESPN Plus doesn't censor anything when it comes to, like, their original shows, like Player 54. Right. Mm-hmm. Nothing censored on there unless it comes on TV. It's a weird situation between the three of those where you have normal cable television with the games on ESPN, ESPN2, and ABC versus the games on FX and ESPN Plus. Personally, I'm the type of person, and this is just my own belief, is I hate the FCC, and I think that television in this country should be treated like television in other countries where they have less of these strict censorship, strict censorship, Jesus Christ, you get what I'm
censorship.
Saying.
Censorship.
Yeah. I feel like my dad can't say the word security. He says security, and apparently I can't say censorship. So it's just going to be one of those
there,
things.
You just said it.
But, like, I've just always been the person, like, that's why I love HBO so much. And when I was in film school, every single show, movie I had to pitch for a project, they were like, they would ask you kind of what's your overall vision for this project. And every project I said, this is going to Netflix, Hulu, streaming, or HBO. This is not, like, I'm not making shows for cable television because I don't do with the censorship. I think art should imitate reality. The reality of life is some people fucking curse. Some people don't. And if you don't like the cursing, you could turn off the TV. And I get it, that will hurt the ratings, whatever.
Yeah.
But, I'm just the type of person that I'm like, let people do what they want to do, with reason, obviously. We don't need crazy run around here. And if you don't enjoy the content, my grandma said it perfectly one time to me, and this is years ago. My grandma had added me on Facebook, and there was, like, a dinner, and it was, like, everyone in my family, and my mom had said something about my Facebook posting at the time. It's when I posted Facebook a lot more, and I was, maybe 18, 20, so I was a little bit more crazy with the post on social media back then. And my grandma said, you know, there's some things that just I don't like, and I just ignore them, and there's things that, like, I like, and I'll react. I'll give them a like. I'll share them, do whatever, but it's like you just scroll, and if it's something that doesn't interest me, I just scroll past it. And for my grandma to say that, who's 70, right? She was in her 60s at this point. You know, it's like that's how I feel everything should be. If it doesn't interest you, that's cool. Keep on scrolling. Keep on flipping through it. But to answer your question, I do feel like it is a distraction, and I don't have an answer to fix it because, unlike you, I don't think that the players should have – I mean, you're asking the players to do so much. Their language is
Minimal it's
priority.
Hard because it's natural. It's part of how they grew up and how they learn to express themselves while they're playing the game. I get it. Yeah. It's going to be hard. You know, I guess you could say all you can really do is go, hey – if you can think to censor yourself, try, but we're not going to, but finding players and stuff like that would be dumb. That would be stupid. Then just take the mics away at that point. So
here's what I think we should do.
So, yeah,
Here's what I think we should do. I think we should, and I'm going to get a lot of heat from this, and it's partially a joke, so forgive me. Here's what we should do. We should uncensor everything, let it fly, and the markets that have the most FCC complaints lose their XFL team. And I'm talking about y'all in the Midwest because y'all are the only ones that are complaining. All right? Us over here on the East Coast, the West Coast, the big cities, the big markets, we ain't bitching one bit. Give Chicago a team if y'all are upset about it. Give LA a team if you're upset about it. Give New York and New Jersey a goddamn team.
Drop F-bombs. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. This is what I'm talking about, okay? I'm playing, obviously, but, you know, it's one of those things. If you're not interested, turn off, I wish, or watch the game on mute. Put some music on. Do what you've got to do.
Yeah, I mean, it is. If you're trying to listen to them call a game, it can get distracting. Okay, let's move on.
Yes. We broke some news.
Yeah.
We broke some effing news. So if you follow us on Twitter at XFLpod, and you should. Okay, so on the 3rd, we ended up tweeting and breaking the news. Shout out WrestleTix on Twitter for helping us confirm a lot of these numbers. There are less than 200 tickets available for the St. Louis Battlehawks home opener this upcoming weekend, and we'll talk more about this on Thursday's episode, but we just kind of want to briefly run through it. At the time of our tweet, there were 29,336,000 tickets sold. The current setup at that point was 29,525, which left around 190 tickets left, and that's with part of the 300 section open. But the thing is a lot of those 300 section that they announced they were opening up, they didn't do it for season tickets. They didn't do it for single game tickets. Excuse me, they did it for season tickets. So with that being said, keep an eye out for the 400 section to possibly be opened. And this game is on track to be the most attended game in the XFL. I don't know if XFL history, I should go take a look at 2001 numbers if I could dig those up somewhere. Don't know how I'd find those, but maybe I'll find them and
you're probably
bring them
somewhere
to the show Thursday.
But
yeah.
Yeah. But they talked about, I know people were commenting on it and were like, oh, they're going to sell out the stadium. They sell it out. That would be quite the feat. That would be monumental. I don't know what they would
It would be a big FU to the NFL. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. And if these home St. Louis Battlehawks games do well, and we could talk about this next episode because trying to make this one a little bit quicker, time constraints, but it's a how many XFL seasons before the NFL makes an expansion team in St. Louis? Or does a team that can't get a new stadium decide to move to St. Louis? That would be another interesting thing.
They definitely is interest there. That's for sure. That's what we can't agree on. So,
yeah,
you know,
they
more
were
power
pissed
to
off
them
when the Rams left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if it wasn't for Jerry Jones, they would still have their team. But that's a podcast. That's a different podcast entirely. And as a Raiders fan, I could go on for hours. But
dude,
we got stuff to talk about.
You don't even remember it. You probably don't even know this. Well, you probably do. But you know, they were ticked when the St. Louis Cardinals left. So, so you got to go back
definitely
that far.
Way, yeah, no, you're 80
way before your
ass.
Time. I know. Yeah. I know. Anyway, let's can we move? Let's okay. So we got to talk about this story. Quentin Dormady he's now been reinstated, but he was released by Orlando for, I guess, giving his playbook to
allegedly
to another player on another team. This was weird, bizarre, and I don't know what to think about it. How about you? What do you know, or what do you want to like? How do we go about this one? Because his stats were taken away, and then they reinstated the stats. I think they took the stats away because they didn't want him to benefit off of the XFL if he was going to sabotage it. You know, so you're not going to use our game film and your stats to potentially get a job in another league somewhere. So that's what I think they were doing when they did that. But then they looked at it and said, hey, we're going to take more of a look at this. He's probably going to be allowed to play, but I have a feeling the big reason was he wasn't getting enough playing time. And so he just gave up, which is not what you want to do. So,
no. No, not what you want to do at all. I think it's interesting that no one from the league itself has come out and say something. I know I reached out to see if I could get a statement from the league, and they have not responded to my request. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those things that's weird. Like, no one is talking about it except for us on the internet. Yeah.
So I'm going to say this about this, and I'm going to get a little, I'm going to try to keep this to like 2 minute rant, if that, but my local radio station here in Michigan, local sports station, they don't cover a lot of XFL. In fact, they poo poo on it because we don't have a team. And
right,
this story obviously hit on Thursday night. So they talked about it on Friday. And one of the commentators, one of very predominant voices that actually is a voice in the football world, basically insinuated that because, and he didn't know anything about the XFL, and said, oh, are they still owned by wrestling? Is this a storyline? And it got me thinking. I was like, that is still going to be a predominant problem, I think, going forward, is getting the perception of what the XFL is into the mainstream and make it a league about the players and not about something from the past. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, as much as we compare what we talk about here to previous versions of the XFL, and a lot of people do. I mean, it's no secret. There was an XFL in 2001 owned by Vince McMahon. It was the Extra Fun League, Extreme Football League, whatever you want to call it. There were teams called the San Francisco Demons and the New Jersey, New York Hitmen, which I think should be brought back. But, so, Memphis Maniacs.
Yeah, go ahead.
And then it was owned again in 2020 before the pandemic. So there's going to be that attachment. But to be so ignorant to the situation,
that's exactly what it is. I'm not going to tell you who it was, but I'm going to tell you off the air, and you might be shocked at who it is. And
you can edit it out. Let me know who you can edit.
No, I'll tell you off the air. We'll just keep it simple. So, less editing for you. So,
fair enough.
I'm thinking, you know, do your homework, do your research. He was just making up names. It's totally poo-pooing it. I'm like, dude, come on. And, but that's, it's not going to be him. It's going to be somebody in every market that's going to have this perception that it's wrestling. And it's not. It's guys trying to make the NFL again. Either make it and get better and get some game film and get better. So that part, I don't know.
All right, MG, so now that we got the Quentin Dormaday trader situation out of the way, let's get into these games, man. The XFL kicked off with a banger Saturday night. The Seattle Sea Dragons defeated the Vegas Vipers 30-26. The total attendance at Cashman Field was 6,037. The field looked a lot better. It looked a lot better. Very windy. I was actually legitimately nervous leading up to the game for the announcers and the coaches up in the booths because, I mean, we've seen it.
Oh, it's a rafter. They let you know about it. They let you know that it was windy.
I'm sure they weren't the happiest because, I mean, I don't know the stadium. I've never been there.
Right.
I would have to probably take a look at some pictures, but it's hard to imagine even a minor league baseball stadium winning, like,
well, there has to be it's pretty open, and those press boxes just sit in the air. I mean, they're pretty high up, so yeah.
Yeah, there has to be something though attached to the actual building that's not like. I mean, I guess not because they had to build rafters, but it is what it is. But it was a windy game, regardless. Ben DiNucci, 377 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. Brett Hundley had 224 yards for 2 touchdowns. Top stories of this game, Ben DiNucci converts on 4th down for 2, 65-yard touchdown to Josh Gordon for the win, which was an incredible. I tried to tell you at the beginning, Josh Gordon is still very good at football. And then obviously we have to talk about how I jinxed the next game by complimenting the refs. We had a situation where the ref, Eddie Gonzalez, I want to say the name, or Eddie Gomez. It's definitely Eddie. I just don't remember his last name, so forgive me, Eddie. But the referee had to hold the ball because the wind was such an issue. And I actually put the tweet out, and we'll talk about me jinxing it,
that's a scenario that I don't think they thought of, to be honest with you.
No, they did thought of it. They did think of it because thought of it because when it happened, you hear Dean Blandino say, okay, he goes, Red Hat holds the ball, Red Hat holds the ball. And like Dean was the one that relayed that out to the field. But I did
this
put
is
a tweet
one,
out.
This part I kind of missed. I didn't see this live. I saw it after the fact.
Mm. Yeah, this game, I tweeted in the middle of this game, and the tweet I put out was, XFL really puts how bad NFL officiating is into perspective. 3 weeks in and zero controversial calls involving the officiating. Hell of a job to Danny Garcia, The Rock, and, of course, Dean Blandino. And then, of course, that would be jinx the next day. But I will say, up until that point, I think that's something that needs to be talked about is just – when you take a step back and you just take a look outside of the XFL and you take a look at just the officiating, like, the XFL got it right. Like, and if the NFL doesn't just steal all of this, then it's a bunch of billionaires with the IQ of a fucking tomato because it makes no sense. If the NFL doesn't take the XFL's officiating rules, then – I will firmly believe, and I don't believe it right now, but I
don't
will
think
be
they
at
are.
The point. But I will be at the point to where like it's fucking scripted. As a Raiders fan, I always think the damn refs are against us anyways, and that will hammer it in for me completely. But let's get into the game a little bit. MG, just like a Vegas professional football team, had the lead, looked great, and then just let it drop below. So what'd you think of the game, MG?
It was very good. I liked it. Went back and forth most of the game. I was actually into this. I was trying to get some work done on another project I was doing, but I kept going back to this game. I was like, this is very entertaining. And then I actually missed the end where and I was like, man, I goes, Vegas is going to win. My Sea Dragons are going to lose again. I goes, they're going to be 0-3. And I'm going to be putting him in the same category as Orlando. This is terrible. And then, Ben DiNucci and Josh Gordon had a game. Josh Gordon is, if there's one player I would almost guarantee is going to get back to the NFL, it's probably him. He's going to end up in training camp at the very least. He's probably going to make a roster, I would guess, because he's balling. He's still good. And
you know where he should go? He should go to Vegas. Him and Davante Adams. Whew. But
that's a fanboy talking. But yeah, he's definitely something a threat in that he made those defensive backs on that 65-yard pass look stupid, just stupid. So
yeah, but we got to give the credit to Ben DiNucci. Beautiful balls, beautiful.
I got
balls.
That covered.
Someone's gonna
Don't
clip
worry.
That out of covered. Context. Yeah. But, I mean, Josh Gordon, 118 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 targets, 6 receptions. Like, you can't beat that.
Gotcha.
Keeping track, if you're betting alongside us, me and MG split this game. We both picked the Sea Dragons to cover the spread, which they did at 3 points when we picked it. On to the next game, a thriller down in the nation's capital. The D.C. Defenders defeated the St. Louis Battlehawks 34-28. There were 16,212 people in attendance, 3 beer snakes. Jordan Te'amu had 196 yards, 1 touchdown. De'Aaron King had 14 yards, 1 touchdown. A.J. McCarron had 262 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. AJ ended up bitching about the refs, which is what I was referring to earlier when I said that I jinxed it, because then AJ McCarron came out, and I believe his quote, and I'm paraphrasing, but it went something to the effect of, the officials came to us several times and told us in the middle of games they blew the call, which is ridiculous, and the league needs to fix that. That was his quote. You could go search up on Twitter. I believe Battlehawks Hub is a great Twitter account that puts all those videos of the press conferences out for the Battlehawks. But That was interesting to me because we have every single person mic'd up. And the fact that that wasn't heard, like, no one clipped that. I mean, I wasn't – at this point, I was dealing with some stuff in my 9-to-5 job. So I wasn't able to pay attention to the game. It was on mute while I was kind of doing everything else I had to do. But so I didn't hear it if that happened. That blows my mind that that was said and there is nothing – I mean, unless I missed it, there's a perfectly good chance that both of us missed it.
Right.
We had a busy weekend. Yeah. But the fact to, for AJ to say that and nothing like on the field or nothing to come out from the announcers was shocking to me. I don't know how you feel about that.
You know what? I think they're going to work it out. The fact that the refs, you can hear the refs talking to each other – it's they're going to get it worked out. So I think it'll be fine. Yeah. I'm not too concerned about it because, you know, you can hear Dean Blandino basically instructing them live. So you're kind of a voyeur on watching how they do the process. So I'm okay with it. I think they'll get it worked out.
And the fact that all the refs have the voice of God in their ear in Dean Blandino, that's the one thing I think, and I get it. The XFL has a lot more games going on. No, but like you know what I'm saying? And I get the NFL has a lot more games going on at once than the XFL does.
Right.
But they need to have.
That's going to be the big issue, upscaling this. Right. Upscaling this whole process, how they do it.
Mm-hmm. Here's what you do. Hire more referees. Take your most veteran ones. Put them up in the booth. They just gotta put someone in each booth with a live mic to the damn rest. That's all they have to do, and they have that capability because we've seen them do it before. But I digress. DC has the ultimate home field advantage.
Yeah,
the ESP.
So go ahead. So this
ESPN
is a question
loves
I was going to bring
the beer
up.
Snake. All of TV loves the beer snake, even my old TV station. For those that don't know, I worked at a TV station in D.C., D.C. News Now, Channel 25. Shout out to everyone there. Brandi Flores is one of the sports reporters, and she's doing a terrific job covering the XFL if you want to go give her a follow. But, just all of D.C. loves that beer snake. And let me tell you, and I should send Brandy a text and ask her. But, like, I'm just curious, just on the TV side, as far as because we're covering the XFL, I just wonder how much more enjoyable it is for them, and I should send a text, to cover this DC Defenders team versus the other professional football team they have in the market.
So my question is this a – this isn't exclusive to the Defenders. This is the soccer team they do this to. Do these people that go to this game go there every time there's an event in that venue and party like that? Because that's what it feels like. It feels like they're very used to doing this, and they got it down. And that the beer snake thing. I thought that at one point, I thought the announcers were going to turn into John Madden with the telestrator and go, and if you go up here and you connect this one to this one, then you can connect all three and you can make a big, you can make a letter. I was just envisioning this turning into something totally. At some point they weren't even talking about the game. And I just wonder if that's how they want to do this, if that's going to bring more eyeballs. Regardless,
it's definitely,
DC's got a great home field advantage.
It's definitely going to bring more eyeballs, but you know what it's going to do that people aren't really thinking about is it's going to make people buy those tickets. This is what I'm trying to say, and this is why I keep bringing up the Commanders. This market is a great football market. DC is a football city. I don't care what you say. I lived there many years. DC is a football city, and to have a complete dumpster fire is the Washington Commanders. And to see how miserable that whole organization is from the top to the bottom. And I can speak because I've been there. Can't say too much.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's just a shit show from the top to the bottom. For the city that is a football city to have something that is fun, people want to go to, people are talking about, people are excited about. That DC defense, I would not be surprised if by the end of the season you see a couple home field games where it's completely sold out from the top to the bottom, because people are just going to want to be a part of it. You see the beer snake, you see the lemon still being thrown on the field, which I think is hilarious. Like it's Buffalo. DC is XFL's Buffalo.
That's actually a very good analogy. I think too, one thing we talk about attendance in these games. I think when it gets a little warmer. It gets a little more, I think that'll have an effect on it too. And like I said, any night game that they have in DC is going to be a freaking party. So
it's another reason why the Battle Hawks do so well with their fans, even though they're about to have their home opener. But it is, the tickets are affordable. You're not going to freeze your ass off because it's in a dome and you got a home football team. But yeah, let's move on. For those keeping track, MG took this one. He picked DC to cover the spread. The Battlehawks did not cover the 2.5 that we picked against, so that goes to him. So if you're keeping track, right now it is 1-2, MG on the lead, but that flips. Arlington Renegades defeat the Orlando Guardians 10-9, 12,006 people in attendance. Kyle Slaughter gets his first start, 124 yards, one touchdown. Paxton Lynch, 219 yards, 10 rushing yards. MG's notes are confusing. 10 rushes for 43 yards and one touchdown. The top stories here is Orlando showed fight this week, but Arlington might have the best defense in the league, and I think that is an understatement. I mean, I think they've had, each week they've had three takeaways, if I'm not mistaken. So, yeah, MG, what'd you think of this game?
This game was very good. I put in there, I was very impressed with Orlando. You and I have just absolutely trashed them for good reason. For a lot of the stuff, you know, with the playbook gate and just, no discipline, didn't seem very organized. And they said they went and dumped some players and added some different personnel and came out fighting. And, you know, my boy Paxton Lynch, I don't know if he's there yet, being my boy again, but
that's your MVP.
He really turned it around. Yeah, he was going to be my MVP, but I disowned it. but he's gotten so much. He looked better. I think adding the run game and allowing him to rush a little bit really helped, and they looked sharp. They looked sharp's probably stretching it, but they looked better. And
they looked competent. Something. Let's just put it there. Yeah. They looked competent. Yeah. This is the first week that the Orlando Guardians look like a competent football team. I will say, just to keep on the bandwagon of shitting on Paxton Lynch, he played a great game. at the end of the game, that man's hairline is fucking going. Let me tell you, the Arlington Renegades had two fumble recoveries off of Orlando Guardians, and I think they intercepted his hairline as well, because it was just, I seen that man's hairline, and I said, sheesh.
I noticed, I didn't realize how much bigger he is than a lot of those guys. I was like, wow, he's actually, I haven't caught it before, but in the huddle, he was very good.
I mean, the motherfucker's 6'7", MG.
Yeah, I just never really realized it. I don't know why. I just never realized it.
It's one of those situations where he's in the category of, you know how every year, especially around this time with the combine, they say, here's the perfect quarterback. They're this height. There's never been a quarterback under this height, and there's never been a quarterback over this height. Paxton Lynch is in that. There's never been a quarterback over, I think it's 6'5", 6'5 and a half. So he's 6'7", right there with Brock Osweiler. Shout out to the Broncos, two of the best quarterbacks y'all ever had. On to the next game.
You just kicking the nuts. Wow. Okay, let's move on.
Hey, now they got Mr. Unlimited. All right. Houston Roughnecks on our final game defeated the San Antonio Brahmas 22-13. 11,309 people in attendance there. Jack Cohn, 64 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Brandon Silver, 278 yards, three touchdowns, one interception. Top stories here. Houston is the most complete team in the XFL. And I'll add a second one here. Jack Cohn is the most inconsistent quarterback in the league. MG, what are your thoughts?
That's fair. That's a fair assessment. There was one thing I noticed about this game that I really liked, and I don't know if it's just this stadium, because this is the hub in San Antonio, is whether or not – so they had a shot over the goalpost. I don't know if you saw this, where one of the field goals where you actually see the football coming toward the camera and going under. I've never seen that shot before, and it was pretty cool.
I don't remember what shot you're talking about, but I'll definitely.
Yeah, it was toward the end of the game, and I was like, you know, it's something that caught my mind. I was like, that's a different way of doing it.
Just to go back real quick, because I didn't give at the end of that. Me and MG split the Orlando Guardians Arlington Renegades game. He picked the Renegades, and I picked Orlando to cover the spread, and the spread was at plus +8. So I end up winning because I covered the spread there. So shout out to me. Back to the Roughnecks Brahmas, though.
I think looking at it, Brandon Silvers, he was very close to being my MVP. They just look solid on both sides of the ball. They're most consistent. They hit hard, and you know, they keep this together. They're my favorites for the whole thing. So, I don't know what else to say.
They're 8-0 in the XFL. They are 8-0 in the XFL. Bud. That's his dad. Wade Phillips is doing a phenomenal job. And let me tell you, I love watching the Roughnecks play. Like, they're minus – I mean, like, my top three teams to watch play are the Sea Dragons, Defenders, and the Roughnecks. They are so much fun to watch. But, MG, let's get into our game of the weeks. I will let you start first.
Okay, so I'm going to go into the Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks? That rolled off the tongue cute. the Seattle Sea Dragons. Wow. I see how that can get confusing. Against the Vegas Vipers, 30-26. This was a back-and-forth game. It had a little of everything. It was definitely I definitely enjoyed this. I can't believe Vegas is better than their 0-3 record. But yeah, you know, we saw Josh Gordon bust out.
Are they?
I don't know.
I would say Brett Hundley. I don't think Luis Perez is getting them anywhere.
You know, they looked better. They were competitive. It was a competitive game. You know, it was high scoring, and you know, and that's one thing that people are going to draw to is scoring. So I enjoyed this game a lot. So that was my game of the week. How about you?
Mine was the next game was the DC Defenders versus the St. Louis Battlehawks. I mean, what do I really have to say? The game came down to the wire. It was an entertaining game. The environment was impeccable. And it's just, once again, one of my favorite teams to watch is the DC Defenders, and they bought out. And Jordan Te'amu, I need to give him his flowers. That man could ball, and I'm very conflicted because obviously I put De'Eric King as my MVP, and I think he will ball out in this league. But Jordan Te'amu is just too good to give the reins fully up to King. And, you know, it hurts a little bit. But
I still only use King in, like, short yardage situations and stuff. They didn't let him do too much. But, okay, go ahead.
One thing I do want to shout out is if you are on Twitter, go ahead and one, give us a follow at XFL Pod. And two, if you go head out to the XFL on Reddit, their Twitter account, they actually did a coin flip, the magical coin flip, to predict each game. And 3 weeks in, and the damn coin is undefeated. So I just wanted to give that a little bit honorable mention while we were talking about games of the week. Something fun to track. But the fact that a coin is undefeated 3 weeks in, I mean, we've seen some crazy coins. The Raiders in 2021. Last year, there was the Jets coin. And this year, it's the XFL coin. So that is great. MG, who is your player of the week? Players of the week.
Players. So, where did I lost it? Wow. Okay. So my offensive player of the week is Ben DiNucci. We already gave his stats. He had a great week. He really took that team and really just jumped on it. You know, he found Josh Gordon several times. That was going to be my MVP until I just really looked at it and said, yeah, Ben DiNucci was a stud. So he's my offensive player of the week. And then Kentrell Bryce, DC for defenders, 5 solo tackles, and he pretty much iced that game with that late interception. So he was okay. My defensive.
My offensive player, and I talked about him a little bit before, Jordan Tayamu, balled out, don't got to say more. But my defensive player, also from the DC Defenders, and I picked defensive back Michael Joseph, number 15. This man is leading the league in interceptions. He has 3 interceptions. He had one on Sunday, and he has 2 pick sixes. One of them was on Sunday. 78 yards from interceptions, so that man is my defensive player of the week, and honestly, he's on track for my defensive player of the year. But with that being said, MG, let's wrap it up how we always wrap up the first episode of the week with our updated power rankings. A little bit of shaking. Not much, but a little bit. So we'll start out with number 1, holding that spot strong, is the Houston Roughnecks. Number 2, holding that spot strong, is the DC Defenders. Moving up 2 spots to the number 3 spot, the St. Louis Battlehawks. They proved enough to me finally to where I said, okay, I can move them up. I think they played more than a half a quarter this past week. So for them, they get some respect on their name. But because of that shakes a little bit up. So the San Antonio Brahmas get moved down a spot. The Sea Dragons actually get moved up a spot for me. The Arlington Renegades move back 2 spots. And then filling out the bottom, still haven't moved the Vipers at 7 and the Guardians at 8. And that's just kind of what it is. I mean, the Guardians need to win one. I think even if the Guardians beat the Renegades, I think I would have moved the Guardians ahead of the Vipers and still possibly below the Renegades. But, you know, it's interesting. There's still a lot of football to go. And because of the way it is, I mean, still anything could happen. If we're talking about standings right now, ahead of the North, obviously 3-0, DC Defenders, Battlehawks are 2-1. Sea Dragons are 1-2, and then in last place are the Vipers. If we're talking about the XFL South, the Roughnecks 3-0, Renegades 2-1, Brahmas 1-2, and then the Guardians 0-3.
We're really heading toward a Roughnecks Defenders Championship if all things were to hold, you know, everything holds straight. So
in the Alamo,
I feel the 2 best teams. Yeah, which will be interesting.
Yeah, what's going to be crazy? Is yesterday we could have saw the preview to the semifinals for the North, the Battlehawks and Defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So
we very well might have, you know, and I think I mentioned that to you too.
But do you have anything else, MG?
I don't. I think I'm good. It was a fun week watching. I think we're going to start seeing some, I think we're seeing better play going forward, and we're going to start seeing some, you know, interest from other people around the country might start taking notice if these games get better. And we definitely know what's happening in DC is going to, and that might affect what happens in like St. Louis, and we might start seeing more crowd participation.
Another thing is if the atmosphere and the success of the DC Defenders doesn't make the rest of the world want to get rid of Dan Snyder entirely, I just don't know.
That's a tangent. That's a side tangent.
That is a side tangent. We just wait till the off season when me and MG got a little bit more freedom to talk about some craziness. We'll talk about that schedule when time comes.
We'll do like a bonus show where we just go on rants about things.
The ideas of bonus shows I have in my brain. I would love to sit down with you, MG, and do a watch along of like the first ever XFL game from 2001. I would like to do some crazy stuff, but all of that is in the works. Until next time, we will be back Thursday to preview week 4 of the XFL podcast. You can follow us at XFL Pod on all social media, Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter to keep up to date with everything going on with us. For me, you can follow me at Official Risk, OfficialRizk, and that is MG Geek right there. You can follow him at the number 2, Fight Forever, for our audio listeners. There were no viewer questions. Once again, you could drop a comment or a question down below if you're on Spotify, YouTube, wherever. Hit the like and subscribe button. Hit the subscribe button on whatever audio platform you're listening to. Give us a like and review to get us up in the algorithms. You know those pesky little algorithms. Trying to think what else, MG. What else? Am I missing anything?
I think you got it all, man. I think we'll end it here and pick it up later this week. Jeez.
Yep.
Something.
We'll pick it up. We're going to pick something up eventually. But until then, this has been the XFL Podcast. Peace.
Later.